This morning, our text is going to be Psalm 119. So if you would turn there with me. Stan squeaks more than I do. Before we start, please join me in prayer. Father, I trust that this is the message that you wanted me to prepare for this morning. And Lord, I know that means that there's something valuable there for each and every one of us. And so, Lord, help us to have open minds and open hearts, open spirits to receive what you have for us. Lord, put your thoughts in my mind and your words in my mouth. Lord, if anything is not coming from you, whisk it away as if it wasn't even said, Lord. Use this time to bless your people and glorify your name. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 119. In just a few verses, Psalm 119 is actually, and Chris, we'll leave the light on for now. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible, but we're just going to cover a couple of verses, beginning with verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your words in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes. As one rejoices in great riches, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Let's start with a personal story. And actually, I can get by with this one because Mary Kate's up in New York visiting our daughter, so I won't embarrass her. When I was 19, I was a junior at Southwest Missouri State University in Springfield, Missouri. And in January of that year, Mary Kate and I started dating. She was a freshman. And by May, we were pretty much inseparable until summer break came. And I had to return to Fort Lauderdale to take a job and save up money for the next year, and she stayed up in Missouri. Now, in those days, we didn't have Skype and cell phones, right? So if we wanted to call, it was what we used to call a long-distance call, right? And if you remember right, those of you who are up in my age bracket, right, you waited till the evening, right, because rates were lower in the evening. But even so, it was about 15 cents a minute, which doesn't seem like a lot today. But when you're making a dollar and a half an hour phone call is basically a day's wages. Right, so I think we maybe made two or three phone calls over the summer months. How I looked forward to those calls, though. Right, I wanted to hear her voice. I wanted to know what she was thinking. I wanted to know what was on her mind. Because we couldn't call often, we wrote. You know, and we didn't have text, we didn't have instant messages, we didn't have email, right? It was the old postal service, and I forget, stamps were probably 7 or 8 cents. And boy, I looked forward to those letters, right? Letters, and you know the kind of love letters teenagers send to each other. And that, I read them not only once, two, three times, the day after I got it, right? When it came time to return to school, one of my best friends and I, we piled in my old Chevy and we drove 26 hours straight from Fort Lauderdale to Springfield. I couldn't wait to get back, and he wanted to stop, and I wouldn't hear it. We stopped for gas and a quick meal, and off we went. A week later, you know, I asked her to marry me, and because she said I had good legs, she agreed. That's what she said. I'm just reporting what happened. Now, you ask yourself, okay, well, what has that got to do with Psalm 119? Have I lost my mind here? No, I haven't. When I know I'm going to do a message like this, I asked the Lord, because we're not doing a book study where it's like, okay, you follow the next chapter where you left off, like we do on Tuesday nights or normally on Sunday mornings. It's like, okay, Lord, what topic do you want, or what passage do you want me to bring? Right? And he told me how to read the Bible, because I've had, you know, people say to me, you know, Pastor Darren keeps saying, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. It's like a mantra around here. It is, and that, because it's important, right? Well, okay. And so that's the topic for today. And I asked the Lord, you know, what passage, and 119 was what he gave me, right? And that. But then the final thing I asked, right, and the Lord finally revealed it Friday, and it's a theme, it turns out to be a theme this weekend, is, you know, Lord, what would, within this message, what is the core? You know, what is the heart of this message that you want everybody to get, right? And it's that it's a love relationship with us, right? His word is a love relationship with us, right? Matthew 22, 17 tells us, you know, and here's the disciples asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment, right? And what's Jesus' reply? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, right? That's what Jesus told the disciples, right? So to me, I look at this book, right, that we have, right? It's a love letter from the Lord. Okay? He's written us a love letter. And if I was willing to read a letter from Mary Kate four times, shouldn't I be willing to spend time reading the love letter from the Lord? But you're probably like me. Sometimes you feel like this guy. Like, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand. Well, there's help. Now, I didn't, unlike Pastor Darren, I haven't gone to Bible school. I've came to know the Lord 33 years ago, and I've been reading Scripture pretty much every day since then. And that's not, I'm not holier than you, or I'm not saying I'm a better Christian. I do that for a very selfish reason, because there's gold in this book, right? When I get a new car, I take a look at the owner's manual, right? When I get a new oven, I look at the owner's manual. This is the owner's manual of life that we have. I look at it daily for very selfish reasons, and I encourage you to do the same, right? You know, the word tells us that, you know, look at the passage that we're in. And Chris, you probably can cut the lights, make it easier for people to see the screen. Right, that, you know, it starts, how can a young person stay on the path of purity, right? By living according to your word, right? Well, if we're going to live according to his word, that means walking with the Lord. You can't walk with the Lord. You can't walk with the Lord without living his word. And you cannot live his word without studying and understanding it. You need to know where you're walking. All right, Psalm 119. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. All right, what does that mean? I think that means making Jesus central. When we read Scripture, we should always have it in mind that Jesus is the central character of the book. Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus, points to his coming. Everything in the New Testament tells us what his coming meant, right? The Messiah is in each and every book. Something I forgot to, I started and didn't finish a second ago. Pastor Darren has been to Bible college and I've not. This is meant to be something simple that any one of us can understand. You know, this is not a bunch of theological terms that are only for, you know, for people that are supposed to be ministers and things like that. This is for every one of us. This is the stuff that, you know, the Lord's shown me over 33 years, and so it's meant to be very practical. And as such, a lot of it, you'll probably look and go, well, I know that, I know that, I know something else. And well, hopefully there'll be at least one or two things in here where maybe you didn't know, or the Lord will say, you know, maybe this is something you need to return to. Let's get back to our text. Right. When you read, if you're seeking the Lord, seek expectantly. All right, I picked a picture of a miner. All right, you know, why does a guy go out and pan for gold or dig in a mountain? It's because he believes that there's treasure there. Right, he's expecting to find something. When we read Scripture, we should be doing the same thing. And we can expect really big things, right? To him who is able to do far above and beyond what we can ask and think, right? The Lord has great stuff for us. It's in the Word if we're willing to pan for that gold, right? Now, seeking the Lord. You can't seek someone without speaking with them. Seeking means speaking, right? And this is key. When you open up your Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to help interpret it for you, right? The Bible, it's a spiritual book. And so you need to read it with spiritual ears. And it's the Holy Spirit who's given to you, in large part, to help you understand the Word. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand what you're reading. Right? Don't hesitate to carry on a conversation with the Lord. It's quite often that I'm reading a passage and it's like, Lord, I don't get this. Or, Lord, okay, I understand it, but what does it mean to my life? How do I apply it? How does it change me? What do you want me to do with this? I mean, let's face it, if I gave you a tool and if I gave you a chainsaw, you'd look at me and go, okay, well, you know, what am I supposed to do with it? Right? Am I supposed to cut down this tree, or are you looking for firewood, or what's going on, right? Well, the Lord gives us a tool. Wouldn't we be wise to ask him what we're supposed to do with it? You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This isn't a head thing. This is a heart thing. Right? Take the disciple Paul. Right? Well, take Paul. I shouldn't say disciple. Take Paul, right? Paul knew the Old Testament scriptures, and yet he was persecuting Christians. It was when his heart changed, that he started applying scriptures and understanding them properly. Right? One of my favorite passages when I came to understand it is, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Right? I think, you know, the same thing, like I mentioned, you know, when I used to get those calls from Mary Kate, and for the record, she's gone this weekend, and I long for those calls. I long to hear her voice. I miss her walking with me. All right. Well, shouldn't we be the same way with the voice of the Lord? Shouldn't we be the same way with his word? And you think about it, right? If you don't have water, like the deer, you'll die. It's really just that simple. And you can put your Bible on the shelf, let it collect dust, and you may keep breathing, but you'll die spiritually. That's the truth, unvarnished truth. If we truly love the Lord, we want to understand the letter he has for us. Which leads me to the question, you know, do we really love the Lord? Do we truly love him? It says, do not let me stray from your commands. Right. And the truth is sheep are notorious for straying. Right. It's just true. But so are we. Right. I can't tell you how often in my life I had a plan, oh, this is my plan, and this is going to be my, you know, every day, this is what's going to happen. And I may go 6 days in, I may go 12 days in, I may go 3 months in that. But sooner or later, I'm going to find myself straying like the lamb. Well, how do you keep from straying? Well, one, you be consistent. All right? For me, I know if I wait to have a study time at the end of the day, it's 50-50 whether it's actually going to happen or not. And that. So I get up an hour early. First hour of my day is spent with a cup of coffee, my Bible, and the Lord. Okay? You know, now, something else may work for you in that. But having that consistency, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow morning when the alarm goes off and wonder what the first thing I'm going to do. I know. Pour the cup of coffee, go find the seat that I use for my quiet time. Yes. Let Sophia bring you the mic, because you definitely have a small voice. But we want to hear you. I think you're on.
It's on?
Yeah. Oh, okay. There you go.
Today I have a small voice. Question.
Yeah.
Do you study book by book, or every morning when you wake up, do you open the Bible and say, Lord, what's the message today, and read what's there?
What I do is, typically for me, I'm usually preparing something. I'm studying where we are on Sunday mornings, or I'm studying where we are on Tuesday night. So I'm studying in preparation. But that's not, you can study wherever the Lord leads you. You know, if you have a topic on your mind, it's like, okay, well, right now, you know, you're concerned with Marion and that, you know, and understandably so. And that, well, you know, you might want to spend time looking at passages that have to do with health or well-being. You know, you might have a topic that you want to study, and that's fine. In that, I do think, and we'll get into it when we talk about context. I do think that studying book by book is a good habit. In that, but you know, truthfully, any time you spend in the Word is useful. Any time you spend, whether it's 5 minutes looking up a particular word, or you know, whether you spend an hour studying a specific book, right? I suggest having a regular time and place. In that, I have a spot in our living room, and I've got the little electric coffee warmer for my mug. And that, you know, but that's not your only place. You know, I mean, you guys know me. You know, at the drop of a hat, I want to be in conversation with the Lord. So I've prayed in showers. I've prayed in places that you look and you go, really? God will listen to you when, you know, and the Lord will. Okay. Now, I know some people, and it's happened to me, you know, I get up at, you know, 6, or, well, now actually last year, in sight of age, I've cut it back to, I get up at 7 now. But there's times when I'm kind of sleepy, and I, to be honest, I'll fall asleep in the middle of prayer. Right? And people go, well, I don't think that kind of upsets God. You're talking to him and you fall asleep on him. You know, Mary's laughing. If I was talking to Mary and she fell asleep on me, I'd kind of go, well, that's kind of disrespectful. You know, there's a reason I put this picture up, though. Right? You think about it, right? Any of us that have been parents, right? Natalie, right? If Erica, if Tate falls asleep in your lap, are you mad at him? Not at all, right? And that's a picture of our Kate and me back when I had hair and it was brown. And yes, I did have good-looking legs. can you, Sophia? Yes, please, for the sake of the recording.
Is it, okay, this is like related and it's short, okay. Is it okay not to read, like you read your Bible, but you don't read it every day though? Like.
Isabel, let me put it this way, okay. And that, I think it's a lot like eating, right? It's spiritual nourishment, right? Now, will you die if you don't eat today?
Yes.
I walked into that with my eyes wide open. No, the truth is, Isabel, you won't. You'll complain about it, but you won't die. And that, you know, can we get by, you know, without reading our Bible every day? Yes, in that. but it's not healthy for us in that. And it's also, it's an opportunity, because that's when the devil's going to start whispering in your ear, oh, well, what kind of a believer are you? You didn't spend time in your Bible today, right? And that, so I think you really want to spend time every day. But if it's a duty, if you're doing it just because you feel like you have to, then you want to take a look at your heart. Because the truth is if you love the Lord, you're going to want to spend time in His Word every day. And that doesn't just, I'll get there, Debbie. It doesn't just mean, you know, sitting down and going, okay, well, I've got an hour now. I'm going to spend time in His Word. You know, sometimes it's, I know, you know, Stan listens in, you know, as he's in his truck, right? You know, there's different ways. You know, it may be that you spend time listening to a pastor teach a passage in that. Maybe that's how your daily study time is. And Debbie, Sophia, would you get the microphone back to Debbie? Everybody that's raising their hand has small voices. I don't understand that.
In my case, the older I get, the worse my mind seems to work. And I find sometimes I'll be in the middle of a reading a passage or saying a prayer, and I just forget where I was and what I was doing, and I'm off doing something different. But I don't think it matters, because I go back to it maybe a couple of words 2, 3, 4 times a day. And I think that's okay, too.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
He knows I'm thinking what I need to be doing.
Well, and that's, it's interesting. We're going to talk about meditating on the Word here in just a minute. Right? And I think that's absolutely true. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Right? What does it mean to hide the word in our heart? Right? Well, I think it means two things. One, to memorize it. And that, and I got to admit, I mean, I struggled with memorization. Back in the third grade, you know, I swore I never wanted to memorize anything again in my life after the multiplication tables, because figure out how they worked. It's like, why do I need to memorize this foolishness? But I think it's hiding the word in your heart means putting it into practice, living it, right? That's when you've hidden it in your heart. Do you truly live what the word says? Do not. One of my favorites, right, and is from James, right? Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, think of that phrase, perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Isn't that an amazing promise? And earlier in James, right, he talks about the double-minded man, right? And the double-minded man should expect to receive nothing, right? I'm not too sure that if we ignore the word or we read the word and don't put it into practice, maybe we're that double-minded man. We need to read obediently. When the Lord impresses something on your heart through the word, that's an action. That's something that we should be doing. And that, not just thinking, oh, that's interesting, you know, other people should be doing it. No, it's meant for me. Right. I know. People say, you know, there's times, oh, you know, I read my Bible and I never hear from the Lord. I never hear from the Lord. And this isn't the only reason, but one reason is that if you haven't done what the Lord last told you to do, right, you didn't pay attention to the last message that He gave you, why would He give you another? He's waiting for you to pay attention to the first one. Now, that's not the only reason. Sometimes we don't hear from the Lord because we're waiting for him to give us a specific answer. I come to him with this problem. You know, I lost my job, Lord. I need a new job. Right? And that's the only answer I'm listening for. You know, and if I don't hear that answer, well, he's not speaking. Well, the truth is he's speaking, but he's giving me an answer that I don't want to hear. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. I think when we read and study and put into practice God's word, it's an act of praise. It's an act of worship. We're saying, Lord, you loved us enough to give us these books in the Bible, to have them written down, to have them in a language that we can understand. The Holy Spirit will help interpret them for you. You cared so much for us. By honoring that, by studying your word and putting it into practice, I give you praise. I give you praise. Teach me your decrees. The Lord will teach us. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. As I said, when you start reading, ask him to help you understand Scripture. But, like any student, I remember when I was in school, I had some classes where I didn't want to be there. I really didn't want to listen to the professor, right, teacher. And that when we're reading Scripture, we need to be willing students. And I always got a kick out of when I was in school, right, people that failed open book tests. Like I never could quite understand it. I mean, if you read the assigned reading and had some concept how to look up the answer, you couldn't hardly fail. You're almost guaranteed a good grade, right? And that, well, life is an open book test. Here's the book that you want to open. Right? I mean, you know, if you read it, when a question comes up, oh, what do I do in this situation or what do I do in that situation? You know the answer is here. Now, you may have to go to a concordance or look up a word search to figure out where the specific passage is. Maybe you'll have to ask, go to a website to see what teachers have taught on that subject. I think we've got a topical index on our website where Pastor Darren has taught. And that this will be one of them that'll end up going in there. And that, but it's an open book test, for crying out loud, why fail in life? Right? Now, there's a lot of different translations, okay? And this isn't meant to be a list of good translations, okay? So if a translation is on here, doesn't mean it's a bad translation. That doesn't mean it at all. It's just some that I happen to use on a fairly regular basis, right? Now, the King James, you know, that's Old English, and that kind of hard to read, and that for some of us because it isn't modern English, and that. What I like is the plus indicates it has the Strong's numbers, and we'll talk about those in a minute. But the Strong's numbers help you understand the original language and definitions, and that's mostly what I use the King James for. Now, my daily Bible, right? And I'll tell you a story about that. Happens to be an NIV, and that's a New International Version. And that Pastor Darren, that's the Bible that he brings on Sunday morning, and that. Is an NIV Bible. Interesting thing about this Bible, right? I bought this Bible, this very Bible here, a few months before I became a believer. And that I didn't know it at the time, but the Lord led me to stop. I was driving to a lunch, led me to stop at a Christian bookstore and buy this Bible. Right? And I started reading it every day. Right. And then, frankly, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Then I came to, you know, I made a decision, accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and all of a sudden, the book started making sense. And that, why? Because the Holy Spirit was living within me, helping me to understand the spiritual language of the Bible. Now, another translation that I use fairly regularly is actually on some Bible software I have, is a literal translation of the Bible. And there they basically take it pretty much word by word and literally translate it. And that sometimes has a little different feel, too, because they didn't have punctuation. They don't use punctuation the way we do today. I also enjoy sometimes the Good News Bible or the Message Bible. You know, that's a more conversational, and they kind of expand a little bit. I would be careful. I see Lester shaking his head. It's like, yeah, I mean, you got to be careful on some of the theology. You know, they sometimes go a little far afield with it. Actually, let me back up for just one second. One way to tell, I'll get there in just a second, Stan. One way to tell with a translation whether it's good for you or not, whether it's a good translation or not, is to compare it to other translations, right? You know, it's like they tell, you know, FBI agents or Treasury agents that you want to know counterfeit money, well, look at the real money and the counterfeits become obvious. If you look at a number of translations, and there are some crazy translations out there where, you know, people have an agenda that they're pushing and you really need to watch them But if you look at a number of translations and you see this one is an outlier, you know, you'll pretty quickly identify that they've got some kind of agenda going on. And then Stan?
As I was sitting here, the Lord was putting this on my heart. For Isabel, the Lord, he wants to fellowship with you. And in my truck, I listened to it for 10 hours a day. 10 hours. And I had to back off on it and cut down. I found myself, you know, too much is too much. But I would just like to say that the Lord says that he wants to fellowship with you. And take your time reading and not too much. You know, try not to take too much in. Just read it at your own pace. But he wants to fellowship with you. He wants to be with you.
This is a passage that we all know, and that in the different translations. I'm not going to bother reading them. They're all pretty similar. But you will find some differences from translation to translation. I say some. NIV tends to be fairly, it's in modern language, it's a fairly accurate translation, and that... Now, the Strong's numbers, I find the Strong's numbers very helpful. And sometimes, you know, if I'm doing a teaching, especially on Tuesday nights, I'll say, well, here's what it means in Hebrew or Greek, right? And this is just an example, right? The verse we all know so well, John 3:16, right? Well, perish, right? Perish, and they have numbers. The if you get the physical copy of the Strong's, the thing weighs 15 pounds. Right. If you work with the regularly, you don't need to go to a gym. But fortunately, the software that I typically use, I can just mouse over it and it pops right up, which is marvelous. And that, but you know, perish, you know, here it, you know, tells you how to what the word is, how to pronounce it. The G and G was a 622. The G means it's coming out of Greek to destroy. Fully, literally or figuratively, to destroy, die, lose, mar, perish. I can't read the smaller version up there. But it can be very helpful if you don't understand a word, you know, or the meaning of a sentence. Take a look at a couple of the key words in the Strong's definition. And that, did you have a question as well? Okay. All right. Now, the book, the Bible, is a book. It's written in a language, right? And so that means that there's certain things that we need to do if we want to understand, right? And the first is to look at the customary usage of the words, right? You know, sometimes, you know, people, they say, take crazy things out of words. They can kind of stretch them to where they mean different things, right? You know, I look at... An example is one of my favorite passages, Romans 12:2. It talks about the renewing of the mind. Well, what is that? What is the common use, customary usage of the words mean? Renewing means to make new. The ing on the end means that it's happening. It's an active word, and it's talking about the mind. So when it says renewing the mind, it's talking about making our minds new. And it's an ongoing thing that happens. That's the common customary use of the phrase, right? And one thing we sometimes need to look at is what did the word mean at the time that it was written? Because language changes in that. What did the word mean at the time? Right? And again, the Strong's numbers are helpful for that because you understand the definition at the time that the word, that passage was written. Generally, when there's a question, you want to choose the simplest, most credible understanding of the phrase. And don't look for crazy interpretations of Scripture. There's people that'll do that, and they kind of tend to twist things. Right now, I'm going to include this is a list of online tools. It's an incomplete list because there's innumerable tools online. I don't try to copy the list down. I ran copies and put it in the back, and that. So don't copy. Yeah. So you don't have to write it down. I didn't want everybody writing. I wanted people paying attention. Now Bible Gateway, right? They have an app so you can get it on your phone. Blue Letter Bible has a handy search tool. Crosswalk is well known and a favorite. eSword, that's e-sword.net. This is the one that I've been using for years. It's a free piece of software, and that any Bible that is in the public domain, where it's free to copy, you can download. And that some, like the NIV, I think I paid $19.95 for the NIV. So I've got about 12 different versions on my software. And it's easy enough to bounce from one to the other. I can run them side by side. It's super easy to use. I want the Strong's number. I go to the King James with Strong's, mouse over, and it pops up. There it is. And that also have commentaries. And again, the ones that are in the public domain are free. There's some that are large. The only bad thing is they have an app for the iPhone, but I use Android, and they don't have one for Android yet. And Olive Tree is the Bible that I have on my phone. I don't like it as well as eSword. It doesn't do as much. But it's a free download. They do have things that they're happy to sell you if you want to buy them. If you're into audio Bibles, right? Some people for various reasons, it seems like the older I get, the more trouble I have seeing so I can read in that. And so, audio becomes, is becoming a better part of my life. Well, Bible Study 2 Tools has audio Bibles, and that Biblica.com has audio Bibles. It has the NIV. There are other sites that have, but there's just all kinds of tools. These are just some you can use. Commentaries. And then commentaries are just what they say. They're somebody commenting on the Bible. Right? Now, this one is one of three. This is the New Testament volume for John Corson. Right? This is the New Testament. Volume 1 and 2 is for the Old Testament. And, I don't know, 10 pounds. And that. But it's good.
It is very
good. It's very good. And that. Warren Wiersbe. Warren, I believe he was attached to the Moody Bible Institute, but he's been known as a Bible teacher for many generations. And he has, I forget whether it's 7 or 8 volumes, and that he passed away just recently, went to be home with the Lord. Now, Matthew Henry, he's been, as he Lester and Peggy shaking their heads, and that Matthew Henry, he lived in the late 1600s and early 1700s. So his commentary is time tested, right? But there's two versions of it. There's a long version and a condensed version. And the long version is pretty long. You know, he can go on about a passage. David Guzik you saw his picture when we were doing the announcements. He's on the trip with Pastor Darren. Now, it's actually, he's leading the trip. He has a commentary in that, but his commentary, I honestly don't know if it's in book form. I use it in online form on my eSword. And that, and don't, you know, I wave this book around, right, and I don't know how many hundreds of pages this silly thing is, right? And don't let a book like that intimidate you, because it's like a dictionary. You're not going to read it from A to Z, and that you're going to look up a specific word or a specific passage. So don't be scared, you know. And I say, yeah, don't give yourself a hernia with the weight, but okay. When I'm studying, and especially if I'm trying to understand a passage, whether for teaching or just for myself, right, a lot of times I'll go to what other pastors have taught on that passage, right? Now, these are ones, this list came from Pastor Darren, right? And this is, too, also on the list in the back, so you don't need to write it down to find the web addresses for them. And that Joe Foch comes out of Philadelphia. He was a policeman before he became a pastor. And so Joe's about my age roughly, and so he's pretty much straight to the point. You know, Joe's going to hit you. He's going to hit you right there. Not a whole lot of fooling around. Now John Corson, he comes out of more of a West Coast kind of. You know, he's a little more laid back and. You know, there's some of his videos, he's teaching under palm trees, and, you know, it's so, you know, if that's your style, you know, you might enjoy him.
He comes from my part of the world.
Yeah, that's right, Andy, he does.
Applegate Valley.
Yeah, Applegate.
And originally, he started preaching to hippies.
Yeah, yeah, Andy's saying originally he started preaching to hippies,
yeah.
and it's true, yeah. And John's about my age, too.
Yeah.
And that, yeah. I get a kick out of watching John because he has videos, some of them go back to the 90s and that, and watching him age over time and that. Now, Damian Kyle and Bob Davis, they tend to be more geekish, if you will, in that, if I'm not mistaken, I think Bob Davis was the pastor that ran the Bible school that Pastor Darren went to, and that. David Guzik, again, I enjoy his written commentary more than I do listening or watching David. But that's just me.
Right.
You know, you might see his videos and go, hey, this is much better than trying to read his stuff. And that is, you know, it's a matter of personal taste. And that. Verse 14, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. All right, now, following your statutes means being obedient. And I suppose I'm beating this to death, but, you know, reading the Word, you know, we want you to read the Word. You want to read the Word in that. But we got to apply it in that. And if I beat it to death, so be it. All right? And then one way to do that is to have some accountability. Right? If I know somebody is checking me out, whether it'd be, did you get to the gym this week, or are you keeping your diet, or did you have your study time? That accountability makes a difference, because I know somebody's going to ask me the question, and that it needs to be somebody who you can be honest with, and that eliminates the excuses. As one searching for great riches. All right. The Bible is full of many, many great treasures. And the more time we spend in the Word, the more we find those treasures and we apply those treasures to our life. All right. You want to find you want to talk to a happy believer? I'd be willing to bet, not that I'm a gambling man, but that they spend time in the Word. All right. Proverbs tells us, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, to search out a matter, is the glory of kings. Right? Now, why would God conceal a matter? Because he wants us to look for it. right? You ever hide Easter eggs for your kids or Christmas presents or a birthday present, right? Well, why'd you do it? Because you wanted to have the fun with them of finding it. And when we discover what's in the Word, what can we do but give glory to God? I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. That's the Strong's for meditate, right? Hebrews 78:78. To ponder, that is to converse or utter, commune, complain, declare, meditate, muse, pray, speak. All right. Modern definition, think deeply or focus one's mind for a period of time. And then, you know, with Scripture, it's not a speed reading contest, not how many words you can read per minute. Right? There's time when, it's like Debbie said a little bit ago, that we get into a passage, and maybe the Lord only wants you to spend the whole time on that one verse, or maybe a part of one verse. You know, truly meditate on the Word. Right. Yeah. Yes, Mark.
Part of meditation.
When you look that up, that thing you had before wasn't complete and exhaustive, but when you go to it, part of it is like a cow chewing on its cud.
Yes.
And when a cow chews on its cud, it regurgitates it and chews on it again, and then it swallows it again, then it regurgitates it three times before it digests it all. So it's also like Stan was saying, he's pouring so much stuff in there, he's not having time to meditate on it, to chew on it, to allow the Lord to speak to his heart. So yes, read the Word, meditate on it, allow him to give you the complete picture of what is there so that he can explain how it applies to your world and to your life so that you can apply it and live it. That's what he wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes time. It takes time. But again, you want to spend time with a loved one? Yeah, I do. Yeah. It can be very helpful to pray Scripture. Right. Because that's a conversation with the Lord. Right. Now, this slide is one of the more important ones, okay, to keep it in context. So many people will take the Word of God and take it out of context, right? It needs to be within the verse, right? Did you know that the Bible says there is no God? It does, right? That's exactly right, Rebecca. The fool believes in his heart there is no God. But it says there is no God. If you take it out of context, that's what it says, right? It's exactly wrong, but that's what it says. Right? It needs to be right within the passage, right? One that, you know, a lot of people, believers and non-believers, oh, don't you judge me. Do not judge or you will be judged, right? And that's often the tone of voice they use when they're saying that to you. Well, that's the passage where it talks about taking the log out of your own eye before you take the splinter out of your friend's eye. Well, if I take the splinter out of my friend's eye, I need to be able to see it, right? I'm judging. And that, you know, what it's saying is that you need to clean your life up in an area before you start looking for faults in others. Right? It doesn't say that you shouldn't judge. And that's out of context. Right? We also need to pay attention to who it was written to and how they would have received it. This book was written for us, right? Not necessarily to us. Right, in the men's, we're studying Paul's letter to the Corinthians. That was a letter specifically to the Corinthian church. Now, we can learn from it. Right? It's written for our benefit, and we can learn from it, but it was not written specifically to us, and sometimes that makes a difference. There's cultural and historical context. Right? Sometimes we need to learn about the culture at that time, and that may mean, you know, going away from the Bible to study. Well, what was it like to live in Corinth in the first century? What kind of city was it like? What were the people like? What did they believe? What did they do? How did they live? All right? You think about it, you know, Jesus washing the disciples' feet, right? You think, no big deal, right? I showered a few hours ago. You know, my feet maybe stink a little bit, but you know what? It's not that such a big deal. Well, in that culture, they were wearing sandals, and I can tell you the roads were dusty and dry, and there were animal droppings, right? And then I also happen to know from other study that was washing the feet was the job of the lowest slave in the household. Wow. When you know the context, makes a whole lot of difference in that. Read in context. And those who want to deceive you in that will take Scripture out of context. If you think somebody is misusing Scripture, take a look at the whole passage. Read the whole passage. Watch them, because that's how they mislead you. And they're perfectly willing to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. Nathan, thank you very much. That's exactly right. Satan tempted Christ by misquoting, taking Scripture out of context. Right. With my lips, I will recount all the laws that come from your mouth. There's times that it's good to read it aloud so you hear it. Right? What does it tell us? Faith comes by hearing the word. Sometimes we need to be, you know, we need to hear the word out loud. Right? And that discuss what you've read with other believers. Right? You know, find somebody that you can share the passage with. Tell them, hey, this is what I think I've learned. Hang on as well. This is what I think I've learned right now in that. You know, why do we have, why will we have the men's study on Tuesday night? Right? I mean, couldn't I be studying 1 Corinthians by myself? Yeah, I could in that. But if I come and study it with other men in that, I'll spend, I don't know, 10 hours getting ready for a Tuesday night in that, and read all kinds of stuff and listen to all. And guys will come up with three or four things that I did not see, did not hear, did not read, didn't think about in that. You know, there's something there in that. You know, share what you're learning with someone else. Isabel, did you have something? Oh. Well, let's get a mic back there.
Okay, so it's not about this one, but it's about the last one. And so, like, how I think of that one is how, like, Jesus is, like, we're, like, the peasants, and he's, like, you know, like, the higher person. And, like, we should be washing his feet, but instead he's, like, washing ours. But it's, like, he washes our sins away. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, that's exactly right. The disciples should have been honoring Jesus. That's exactly right. They should have been washing his feet. And he was acting the servant to wash ours. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Make it a habit. You know, I picked this photo for in that because, you know, a habit is a lot of bricks built one at a time. All right? In that, you know, now I've got 33 years worth of notes in this Bible, right? In that, that's a lot of bricks in that, you know, and we build one brick at a time. You know, you want to have a habit of getting in God's Word. Question that I would ask myself is, do I love the Lord enough to want to know what he's saying me? Do I care? Like the deer, you know, do I pants for water? Do I really love the Lord enough to spend time with his word? It's commonly said that the Bible is the only book that when you read it, it reads you, right? You know, and this is passage from Hebrew is one that, you know, we hear quoted often. The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It judges our hearts, and that it truly does read us. Right. But we are blessed by biblical truths. Right. You know, Jesus said in Matthew, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Yeah. I know a lot of us, you know, we're troubled. Life is challenging. Sometimes it's downright hard. It can be, you know, even depressing. It can be oppressive in that. I know that in that, and you do too in that. And where's the answer to that? I don't think it's in pills, alcohol, whatever habits, addictions, excuses we make. Right? It's in a loving relationship with our Father. And that relationship doesn't go anywhere. You know, it's like a car without gasoline. If we don't spend time in the Word, the bus ain't going anywhere. John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that. You want to know Jesus? Spend time with your Word. Spend time with His Word, His love letter to us. Yes, Rebecca?
No mic for you.
I just wanted to expand on one of your early points about why we don't hear from God. Mm. And I find that for myself, I just don't recognize Him,
mm-hmm.
Especially not at the time. So maybe later I'll look back mm-hmm. and say, oh, okay, that was God's hand there, that situation. And the other thing is that I don't remember. So there have been multiple times He's come through for me in like really odd circumstances. So like I knew it was God. But then I just forget because I didn't write it down. Mm-hmm. And he'll, you know, it'll come back to my mind at some point. But I think it's important that when you do hear from him to make some kind of a record, even if you just like auto-record it on your phone, just so that you don't forget. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of what happened to the Israelites in the desert. You know, God did all this amazing stuff for them. They like forgot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they like didn't trust him out there. They thought he was going to let him die in the desert, which is
weird. Yeah. Well, no. We should have reminders, Mark, and then we'll wrap up.
Another thing is, I think many times we don't expect to hear from him, and we should expect to hear from him. If we're going to spend time with him, we should expect to hear from him. Because he expects to hear from us.
Absolutely true. And with that in mind, I mean, you know, there's people here today that I met an hour ago. And I wouldn't, you know, probably wouldn't recognize their voice if they called me. And there's some of you that I've known for years now. And I recognize your voice because I spent time with you. You know, we've eaten together. We've shared a Bible study together. We've spent time together. We've spent our lives together. Same thing with hearing the Lord. You know, the more time we spend with Him, the better we hear His voice, and the better we know His voice, and the easier it is to hear Him. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, Lord, we thank You that... We thank You that You care enough to give us Your Word, Lord. As I call it, the owner's manual of life. Father, help us to search Your Word, Lord. Help us to love You enough to honor You by reading Your Word. Lord, let Your Word change us from the inside out in ways that make us more like our Savior. It's in His name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.